What are we starting with this week?
Spotify.
Wrong.
Oh, I was going to say Spotify.
Mm. Are we email?
Wrong. There's two other things it could be.
YouTube comment.
Yes.
Yes.
What's the other one? Patreon.
So we've got Patreon. We've got Patreon. Spotify. You should follow us on Spotify. God. We've got Wii Reviews.
I can't keep track of all this.
And that's it. Those are the three. but yeah, the YouTube comment of the week. This one is from Sophia. It says, barely got through my workout while listening to this because it was so hilarious at times. What a delightfully immature episode.
Good. We aim to interrupt people's workouts.
Can you guess what episode this might have been?
The recent one.
The key word is immature.
Orgasms.
That's right. So if you want to,
there it is.
If you want us to interrupt your workout with orgasms, definitely go and listen to that episode.
Just constantly having orgasms on this podcast.
No, so we before we do start the show, we do want to talk about our little giveaway because it is ending. It's ending very soon. This is the last episode.
This is your last chance.
Enter on. The winner will be announced in next week's episode, the 105th episode. So just to remind you, what you can win is some exclusive SciGuys merch, taste-changing tablets, a signed SciGuys calendar, some Martian soil, and a handwritten card from us, the SciGuys.
Yeah.
And all you need to do to enter is answer this question that I'm about to ask you, like the video, and be subscribed to SciGuys. So the question you need to answer in the comments is, are you right-handed, left-handed, or ambidextrous?
Ooh.
Answer that down below. Let us know and like, comment, and subscribe. And
what if you don't have hands? Wedding.
Well, you'll still be handed.
No handed.
You'll still be handed.
Really? Will you?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Well, all right. Look, we'll explain it later, but you'll still have some level of
maybe we need to come dominant up with a better arm.
Handedness, probably.
We need to come up with a better term that doesn't discriminate.
I think dominant arm.
Honestly, I think the number of people with no hands is small enough that we can just say handedness.
Okay.
I think
I trust you.
I think that's fine.
Don't like that.
Wow, person with hands making that call? Damn.
Wow. It's not your place to say.
Let's start the show.
Let's start the show.
Welcome to the SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Champ and Luke Cutford.
What was that?
That was what you did! Poor audio listeners.
This week, we're talking about some sinister science.
Oh no.
The science of evil. Being able.
I agree. I do think so, yeah. No, so this week we're talking about the science of being left-handed, and it was actually...
Corey!
What?
You can't say the science of sinisterness and then say it's about left-handed people.
I absolutely can.
To Corey, it is the science of being evil.
Do you know what the word sinister means from Latin?
Does it mean left-handed?
It means left, yeah.
Oh, history is awful.
I absolutely can and will say that. It is sinister science. It's left science. No, this was suggested by executive producer Anoni May over on Patreon. And if you would like to have whatever episode you want done by us, you can just go over to Patreon and join our Boaty McBoatface tier, and you can tell us to do any episode you want. No democracy involved whatsoever.
I love that our executive producer made you research something that you absolutely despise.
I don't
saw this email come through and I celebrated thinking of Corey doing all this research.
I don't despise left-handedness. I don't despise the people. I just despise left-handedness. And actually, it's good to know more about the thing that you hate, you know? Because it can either lead to you not hating that thing because it might have been hatred through ignorance, or it can galvanize your hate because it really is evil. Mm. And in this case...
And you know how to fight them.
I know their weaknesses.
No. Their right hand specifically.
Yeah. Go for the right side. The right side. They can't defend it.
Yeah, so why don't we get into the science of being left-handed? Before we start, none of us are left-handed, is that correct?
Well, apparently, according to you two, I seem like a left-handed person.
Yeah, you seem like a left-handed vibe.
I thought you were both left-handed at some point.
Don't ever say that about
me
again.
I'm so sorry. This was like months ago. Months and months and months ago.
Ugh, no. Luke does have lefty vibes, though.
Yeah.
Hey, man, my dad's left-handed, so maybe that's why.
It's all genetic.
I'm the spawn of evil.
Well, we knew that.
So, what is handedness? Do you guys know what handedness is?
What is handed? It's to do with what side is more dominant.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. I don't know how to describe this.
No, that's more
which less, side of you is more
or less
in
right.
control?
Hold on, sorry.
More in control.
Or has better...
That's just that if you ever use your left hand, your right hand comes over and slaps it.
No. Oh, my God.
No, you're writing it wrong.
I really hit my left hand hard. So apart from the very, very small number of people that are truly ambidextrous, can use both their hands equally well, mm-hmm. There are some... Most people have a dominant hand, by which I mean a hand that is better at doing tasks than the other hand. Now, about 95% of people, not 95, about 90% of people, 85 to 90% of people, their right hand is their dominant hand, and a disgusting minority of people have their left hand as their dominant. I'm actually very worried that one day left-handed people are actually going to be like...
An oppressed class.
An oppressed minority, yeah. And this is going to come back to bite me.
Oh, look at this.
I believe asshole. It. Well, because the entire world is set up for righties, so...
That's true.
Well, we can get to that.
It's a systemic issue.
We can get to that later, because there is a really interesting look at how society is built if you consider left-handed people. But, no, so...
Fountain pen privilege.
So, about 10% of the world isn't right-handed, but 1% of the people are ambidextrous, like I said, using both hands equally well. Mm-hmm. But about 9% of the world is left-handed. Although... That's not really the best way to classify things into right-handed and left-handedness, because that gives you kind of a false view of it. Mm-hmm. What a better way of looking at it is strength of preference. So there are people that very strongly prefer their right hand. Their right hand is incredibly dominant, where their left hand can't really do very much at all. And then there are people that are sort of weakly dominant with their right hand, which is what most people are, because if you think about it this way, your left hand still can do some things if you're right-handed. For example, guitar, your left hand does...
I was just thinking
about
that. My left hand is very good at guitar, the complicated yeah. movements, and then my dominant hand is just like... And if I try and switch it around, neither of them work.
Exactly, yeah. So there are some things that you can do with your left hand, you know, like playing guitar, mm-hmm. Chopping things. You need some fine motor skills with your left hand to do that. So it's not like if you're right-handed, your left hand is absolutely useless. Although for mm-hmm. some people, that is more or less the case. So then you've got people that have got no preference for either hand, ambidextrous people. Then you've got people that have got a weaker preference for their left hand and then a strong preference for their left hand. Mm-hmm. And I think actually so about half of all humans have strong-handedness, which... basically means you use your one specific hand for pretty much everything. And then the other half uses their non-dominant hand for some things. So that could be like cutting knife, like using a knife to chop the opposite way. But when I say like sort of half of the world has strong-handedness, that's like, you use your hand for pretty much all things. But there are some people that have got even stronger handedness that are just... very bad.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not just your hands. You can obviously have other areas that are lateralized, by which I mean, you know, that you've got a dominance for one side. So, for example, with your limbs, you can have footedness. If you're a football player, you've probably got one foot that you have as the dominant foot. For me, it's my right foot. And most people, if you're right-handed, you're likely to be right-footed.
I'm right-footed, yes.
You're right-footed?
Yeah.
Look, you seem like a lefty. Are you a left-footer?
I'm right-footed.
We'll catch him out one day.
Good. One of these days, man.
Okay. Which is your dominant eye?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
You can have dominant eyes as well. So you either, you know, the one that you look through a microscope with or the one that you look through a telescope with. Or
I'm also right eye.
Right eye.
Picturing a microscope here.
It would feel very wrong to go into the microscope with my left eye.
I could do both.
I could do both, but
I'm ambidextrous. I actually might be. But no, I think my dominant eye is probably my right eye. And yeah, so the thing is that this is odd, because throughout human history, pretty much, most people have been right-handed. And you can see that in language. So I mentioned earlier that in Latin, sinister means left, obviously. Mm-hmm. Dextrous comes from the Latin word dexter, meaning right. Mm-hmm. So dexterous meaning sort of good with your hands, essentially, means right. Ambidextrous, both right, both of your hands are right hands, essentially.
Right.
It's that would be very weird if both your hands were actually right hands.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be very weird.
One
but you've
of them
also
was
got
upside down.
Uh-huh. Wow. Then, I do like that we have a derogatory term called two left feet.
Yeah, two left feet. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right, the word right means correct.
Yeah.
And also right.
Wow.
And this is also in other languages. So in French, the word left means the word left is gauche, which could also mean awkward. German word for left is links or linksish, which could also mean clumsy. The Spanish word is zurdo, which can be used in a phrase, which can be translated as to be very clever. But the phrase is no ser zurdo, which means not to be left-handed. So in Spanish, if you were to say, if you're not left-handed, that would mean you're very clever.
At least ours is coded. Jeez.
I mean, yeah, that was... Well, no, two left feet is really not that coded, is it?
Right-handed. Right.
You are good-handed.
Correct.
And you are evil-handed.
Evil.
And there's also the Italian word for left, mancino, or I don't speak Italian. It also means dishonest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant. I think it's very funny that throughout history, there has been this bias against left-handed people for some reason. So long as, you know, they've all been pretty much fine. The reason for handedness comes from brain lateralization. You guys heard of that before?
Yes, I did a clip about it.
Yeah, you did. In my notes here, it says, Luke, explain. So, Luke, would you like to explain?
Wow. Sometimes in my notes, Corey, it says Corey explains. So that's fine. So, brain lateralization is... Stronger brain lateralization is correlated with right-handedness, as far as I remember from my research. And brain lateralization basically means how much your hemispheres have split tasks up. So what would be strong lateralization of your brain would be your right hemisphere or your left hemisphere has taken responsibility for the majority of a specific task. And then low brain lateralization is that you have a lower than average splitting up of those tasks across hemispheres. So both hemispheres take on some of that task. Would that be a fair summary, Corey?
Yeah, it's pretty solid, yeah. Yeah.
Lefties have low brain lateralization.
Yeah. You're right.
Right.
On average, we've noticed that people that are left-handed have less lateralization, meaning that their brains kind of, instead of saying, oh, the left part of the brain does this, right part of the brain does that, they just kind of share it a little bit more.
They talk more.
Yeah, they do more.
Better relationship.
Yeah. Like as in task, instead of the function for it being located mostly on one side,
yeah.
You can have both sides able to perform functions. And the mm-hmm. the thing is with lateralization, you might be thinking, oh well, what's the point of, shouldn't all the brain be able to do everything? Mm-hmm. And actually it was more beneficial in terms of evolution for certain parts of the brain to do certain things because it meant they could focus on it. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't necessarily interference. So if there's one part of the brain trying to do something and another part of the brain trying to do something, they're not gonna clash with each other.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, there's lots of other animals that have these asymmetries in their brains, vertebrates and invertebrates. But the difference between humans and these other animals is that there is a very, very specific pattern of asymmetry in your brain, and it's very, very closely related to sort of function and behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as in specific hemispheres are very specialized to do specific sort of cognitive things. Mm-hmm. So basically higher brain function, that sort of stuff, like thinking, feelings. There's different parts of your brain that are very specialized for each sort of specific thing. For example, there's the Broca's area, B-R-O-C-A. That area, that's in, I think, sort of the front part of your brain, I think.
Yeah.
But that is for speech. That's a very important part for speech. And it's usually bigger in the left hemisphere, which is the part of your brain that controls the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. So you can see things like that, where some parts of your brain will be larger on one side than on the other.
And this actually calls back to a certain extent to the episode we did on... split brains, where once somebody's brain was split, they had like an inability for one hemisphere to communicate with the outside world, I think. Mm-hmm. And so one of the hemispheres would try and make up a reason as to why the other hemisphere had done something. And it actually had absolutely nothing to do with why it actually happened. But it was like compulsively making sense of the world, even though it didn't have a clue what was going on.
It's really interesting because your brain can, like, we talk about lateralization as though, only this part of your brain can do that. But that's really only because you've grown up, like basically developed with each part of your brain specializing. There's, Luke, I think you told us about this. You can basically take out half of a child's brain, or half of a baby's brain rather, and they'll get on just fine. The other parts of their brain will sort of just pick it up, right?
Yeah, that is true.
Because it's brains are incredible. So when you think of lateralization, try not to think of it as this part of my brain can only do that. Mm-hmm. It's more in terms of development, parts of your brain specifically, parts of your brain specialize into specific tasks because it's more efficient. Mm-hmm. Whereas in left-handed people, they're slightly, with most people, those sort of specific tasks are, can be sort of divided down the middle of your brain. So you've got the left hemisphere, the right hemisphere, the left half and the right half. In most people, there will be one half of your brain that is more responsible for performing certain tasks than the other half. But with left-handed people, because their brains are less lateralized, that's not necessarily as much the case as with right-handed people. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, gosh, there's so much going on here with brains. Why don't we talk a little bit about how handedness evolved? How do you think that handedness came into being?
Oh, God. With the need for using tools, maybe? I don't know. That's a wild guess.
So it's actually, we think it's actually more to do with language, I think.
Oh.
So I don't think we've got, we don't have a specific 100% idea of exactly how it happened. Uh-huh. But we think that it could be to do with language. So that using your hands for gesturing was the main mode of communication. And then that was replaced by language. And because of that, because the left hemisphere of the brain, I think it's the left hemisphere of the brain, is more focused on language, that part grew, and then you had stronger lateralization of the brain. And that lateralization led to sort of handedness, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense, I think. I'm not a neurologist, but I'm sure it makes sense.
Yeah. So essentially what this theory is that what happened was the brain's lateralized for language.
Yeah.
And then sort of motor, your hands lateralized, like lateralization of your hands and legs came after that as a result of your brain lateralizing for language.
Not lateralizations in other animals though, you said?
Yeah, there are. Yeah. We'll get, but it's slightly different than in humans. Like I said, in humans, the lateralization is very, very strongly linked to behavior and motor function and other things like that. So while other animals can have lateralization, there's not quite as strong of a, so in this case, there's not quite as strong of a preference for one side compared to the other with mammals, let's say. Mm. So with many other mammals, you won't necessarily see most of them have a preference for the right compared to the left, you know? Whereas in humans, the majority of humans, almost 90%, have a preference for their right hand.
Yeah, that is really weird.
It's very weird. Yeah. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a bit because there is some more on animals and it is quite interesting. So essentially, we don't know exactly why handedness came about. We've also got the other idea that apparently it could have been motor lateralization that came first and then the language.
Right.
So we're not sure. But we do know that Neanderthals, they were also strongly right-handed. So
interesting.
It's not a new human. It's not a human invention.
It's not sapiens. It's not Homo sapiens.
No.
Developed it. It's ages back.
But how do you think? Yeah, exactly. How do you think that we could have told? How do you think we can tell that what hand fossilized skeletons use? Like dominant hand?
Where on the joints and stuff?
That's one way. Yeah. Well, not so much wear on the joints as if it's a skeleton.
Stronger,
right?
Our musclier joints.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously muscles don't last in fossils usually, right?
Yeah.
But what happens when you've got large muscles? You can see there's a change in how your bone is with larger muscles. So if you've got one arm that is stronger than the other, you'll be able to see that in the bones. So if you've got both arm bones, you can basically look and see which one had more muscle.
Yeah.
That one, they were right-handed. But there's also other interesting ways. So the bone one is great, but that doesn't necessarily work all the time, because it's not often that we find fully intact skeletons or we find both arm bones, you know? And there is another way that involves tools and teeth.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is it like just the bias of where you put food in your mouth because you're right-handed? So like the teeth would be more worn on one side or something.
No, so it's basically I heard the specific story of there's this sort of tool that they had for skinning, like, or skinning animals or shaving sort of flesh off of skin, right?
Right.
And every now, so it's this kind of like stone implement, and you'd hold one part of the thing between your teeth, and you'd hold the other part in your hand, and you'd scrape it, right? But every now and then your scraping tool would slip, and you would scratch your teeth. And the direction of the scratch tells you which hand you were using. Because if it scratches one way, you're using your left hand for it. If it scratches the other way, you're using your right hand for it. So we've literally analyzed the direction of scratches in Neanderthal teeth, or in like a fossilized teeth.
That's very specific.
Yeah, to figure out which hand. It's incredible, honestly. So there's that. There's also, if you look at tools, you can figure out, if you know how they were used, you can figure out, based on where the wear on the tool is, which hand it was used in. Mm-hmm. So obviously, like if you've got a tool where you've got a left side and a right side, and say the left side was used more, that you could relate that to using it with your right hand. So it's really cool. Honestly, that fossilized teeth thing was incredible find. But there are some differences between left-handed and right-handed people. Do you guys know any differences besides the sort of decreased lateralization in left-handed people?
I think
people?
They also have swapped hemispheres some of the time, don't they? Like, not only are they decreased in lateralization, things that you'd often see in the left hemisphere are actually in the right hemisphere.
I think I've heard you mention that before. I didn't find much of that coming up when I was looking for it.
They also have higher risk of mental health problems.
Oh boy.
Really?
Yeah, they
schizophrenia,
do.
I think.
Yeah, schizophrenia. Yeah, that's really common. Left-handedness is common among schizophrenic people.
Why?
Dyslexia is also more common in left-handers. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of differences between left-handed and right-handed people, more than you'd think. Like Luke said, yeah, schizophrenia. There's also, autism, I think, as well. It's more common among left-handed people. And what I've got here is it says that basically sort of cognitive processing is more lateralized in left-handed people. And just some numbers to get you so you can understand this. So 97% of right-handed people have their motor speech area exclusively in the left hemisphere, in the left half of their brain, but only 60% of left-handers have it exclusively in the left. With 30% of them, it's in, so their motor speech area is in both hemispheres. And yeah, so look, you were, what you were saying earlier about parts of their, like, sort of areas of their brain being found in opposite hemispheres. 10% of people, their motor speech area is in the right hemisphere, whereas in right-handers it's usually in the left.
Right.
But that's only with sort of 10%
of left-handed people.
Yes.
Okay, that's low then.
It's low, but it's not incredibly uncommon.
I just mean that with our understanding of the left hemisphere controls the right side and the right hemisphere controls the left side, you might initially think, well, that's because, if you know about hemispheres, then it's because they're swapped. And so they are doing the same thing as us. It's just that they're the other way around. But if it's only 10% of left-handed people, then there are other modes of action that make you left-handed than the hemispheres.
Yeah. So I think the way that people think about this might be a little flawed in that, like, from what I know, bear in mind, I don't know loads on brains because brains are very complex. And also I'm not a brain scientist, but it seems that, like, there are areas that are just that pull more weight, you know, than others. And in left-handed people, some areas that you'd expect to the right half of the brain to pull more weight. Sorry, with left-handed people, in some areas where you'd expect the left-hand side of the brain to pull more weight, the right side of the brain actually pulls more weight.
Yeah,
and that's what it means. So you could say that it's flipped or it's swapped, but that's not super accurate. It's just one half is doing more work than you'd expect it to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And interestingly as well, left-handedness, you see it more often amongst musicians. Apparently, this is the thing. One of the reasons for this is it's probably because left-handed people are usually better at using both hands. Because remember how I was saying earlier that there's strong and weak preferences. Left-handed people are usually better at using their right hand than right-handed people are using their left hand.
Yeah.
Because there's more, there's less lateralization with left-handed people.
Mm-hmm.
And also left-handed people are apparently more likely to have a higher IQ score, more likely to have one above 131, and more likely to be better at maths as well.
Right.
Yeah. So what causes left-handedness? That awful scourge in our society. What causes it? How does it develop in people? How can we stop it?
Trauma.
Well, Luke.
It must be trauma.
It definitely does cause trauma because, oh boy, they are traumatic to look at.
Trauma.
It does.
Therapy bill.
Only if they're carrying something.
No, I can tell. Like you can tell a left-handed person from their vibe, you know? Sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you've got a Luke. But I have a theory that perhaps Luke is left-handed. He's just taught himself to be right from the age from a very young age.
I'm King George.
You're corrected.
So handedness develops in the uterus. Not just any uterus, a uterus with a fetus in it, bear in mind. That's a key point there.
The uterus is like a casino machine where it's just like...
it's whichever hand you choose to pull down the lever with. So fetuses tend to suck the right thumb more than the left if they're right-handed, and also move their right arm more. Yep, that's what thumb sucking looks like.
Yeah.
Move their right arm more, lie more often with their head turned to the right. And usually that we think the handedness that you've got in the womb transitions into the, you know, it's the same handedness that you've got later in life. Obviously there are, like, you can train left-handedness out of people. But that, it's not truly training left-handedness out of them, because usually they still got their brain all lateralized and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And usually, in most cases, we think that left-handedness is just a natural variation. You know, like there's just a little, like we've got lots of things that vary between people. You know, and handedness is just one of those things. And
doesn't make it right.
But
so
sometimes,
basically, we're saying we don't know why.
No, we don't know why. But sometimes with left-handedness, we think could be because of developmental or genetic problems. And that's also the case for like extreme right-handedness. So like how I said that some people are extremely right-handed.
Yeah.
If you're like, there are some cases of left-handedness and extreme right-handedness. Yes, very funny. Very funny, guys. Where like you see diseases and developmental problems.
Yeah.
Like, more commonly. So that could be a reason for left-handedness. Again, it's like one of those things where we spoke that we speak about often, where we were looking for, say, the gay gene. There could be many reasons that someone could be gay.
Mm.
You know, gay is just a symptom. It's not the disease.
Mm-hmm.
The same with left-handedness.
Left-handedness.
It is a disease, but it's just a symptom.
Just a symptom.
Yeah, so like I said, in most cases, left-handedness, natural variation. In some cases, it can be related to developmental disorders. In some cases. Mm. But then again, so can extreme right-handedness. So being either end of the spectrum could be related to sort of a genetic or developmental abnormality. For example, epilepsy, schizophrenia, autism. Not that any of these things are necessarily, bad things. But like... We've noticed that there are more left-handed people, or rather, it's
more prevalent.
Left-handedness is more common amongst these groups of people.
Right.
Hang on.
So it's more common. It's only 10% of the population, and it's also more common among people with those other things.
Yeah. So wow. Schizophrenics, it's one to two times more common in schizophrenic people.
Which then means it's actually like left-handed people are like way overrepresented in the pool. If it's more common to be left-handed, and also being left-handed in the general population is 10 times less likely to be the case.
Yeah.
It's not like more than 10% of people with schizophrenia are also left-handed. It's more people with schizophrenia are more likely to be left-handed as well. Right, they're not just overrepresented by the numbers in the general population. They're more than half.
No. Left-handedness isn't more more common than right-handedness in people with schizophrenia. It's just more common in people with schizophrenia than people without.
Right. Okay. That's what I was trying to get. It's not that more than 50% of people with schizophrenia are left-handed.
No. It's one to so left-handedness is 1 to 2 times more common among schizophrenic people than in the normal population. Normal population is what was taken from a paper. I just read that out. Not that schizophrenia isn't
it's
normal.
Like, it's like 20-ish%
yeah, people. Okay. 20% of people. So handedness is also a little bit heritable as well, in that if you've got a left-handed person and they, by the grace of God, manage to mate with another left-hander, keep it amongst themselves, you're more likely to have a left-handed child. Or rather, left-handed children are more likely to have left-handed parents.
Do you know how likely?
I don't know how likely. I don't have the stats on that specifically. But we've done twin studies, and that also, there's also a kind of, we've got a good idea that there's a genetic component there. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at sort of identical twins versus fraternal twins, you've got 81%, there's a handedness concordance rate. So that means that in 81% of cases with identical twins, they've got the same handedness. Mm-hmm. Whereas with fraternal twins, only 73% of cases they've got the same handedness.
Still high. That's very high. Yeah.
But you've got to remember that that could probably, because you've got the same parents still.
Yeah, of course. I just mean that the identical genetic to a different genetic is only like, what, 7-8%?
Yeah, about 8%.
It's very interesting.
But yeah, so we think it could be transmitted through mothers, because there's a particular strength of it being, you know, transmitted through that. Mm-hmm. Saying transmitted as though it's a disease. and the handedness of adopted children is more closely related to the handedness of their biological parents than their adoptive parents. Right. So it's not just environment that's coming from as well. Okay. Although environment can influence it, bear in mind. This is the thing. I think the way we think about this is similar to what we were talking about with the gay gene episode. If you've not heard that, go back and listen. It's a great one. Where handedness can have a lot of different causes. And it could be a genetic component, but there could also be an environmental component, and it could also be down to conditions in the womb as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's in some cases, like brief phases of like not having not enough oxygen could cause developmental disorders. And also it can mess with the connections between the brain, mm-hmm. between the hemispheres of the brain, you know, the corpus callosum. And that could cause extreme right-handed or extreme left-handedness, and also developmental disorders as well, which is mm-hmm. why you could probably see higher cases of left-handedness in people that have, you know, maybe schizophrenia or developmental disorders or genetic mm-hmm. disorders. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've not found a specific gene for left-handedness yet. We've found some areas that might be correlated to left-handedness. We've done lots of genome-wide studies, but it is it's difficult to find them. Although one thing I do want to mention from this study, it was just very funny, I thought, when I read it. So they basically, this is verbatim from what the study said. After performing quality control of UK Biobank genotype, including restricting samples to individuals of white British ancestry, we undertook 3 genome-wide association analyses. What was funny to me about this was that they said, quality control, we only included white British people.
Oh, God.
Which, no, like, totally, no.
What does that mean? It reads awfully. It reads so badly. I'm sure it doesn't mean what it sounds like it means, but that is some poor writing.
It doesn't mean what it sounds like it means. They wanted quality control. They wanted to make sure that the
oh god, oh dear.
The data that they drew from was good data to draw from, so that they're limiting the number of limiting the number of variables that they're looking at. So if you just look at people from white British ancestry, then there will probably be less variation amongst the genotypes that you're looking at. But yeah, I don't know. That sentence just does not read well.
No.
Quality control, including restricting samples to individuals of white British ancestry.
Just use a different word than quality. Just
Variation control.
That's it.
Variability control.
Variation control.
Oh, it really got me laughing that one. That one. but we found in that study, they found three significant sort of areas of the genome that it could be related to left-handedness. But again, we've not found a specific left-handed gene. It's likely that we're not going to find one specific gene that causes it. We'll probably find some things that are very strongly linked to left-handedness. And I did mention handedness in animals. So lateralization, like I mentioned, your brain, sort of one half of your brain taking on some tasks and the other half of your brain taking on other tasks, is present in the animal kingdom. No, like I said, no other mammal earlier on. That's not quite right. No other placental mammal has a strong preference for the right or left hand in particular. So in this case, humans have a strong preference to their right hand more than their left hand. Most other placental mammals, they won't, like, you know, some animals will have a strong preference for their right hand, others might have a strong preference for their left. Now, can you think of a potential non-placental animal, Jamp, that may have a strong preference for one hand? I'm asking you in particular because you've probably seen one of them.
I don't know. Oh, a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Kangaroos. So this is a 50-50 one. Which hands do kangaroos prefer? Well, not hands, you know, whatever they've got, paws.
This meaning the ones they punch with?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, yeah, punching. Yeah. They do more than just punch, but yeah.
What else do they do? Do they use tools?
No. Pick up their baby.
No, they don't use tools.
I mean, some animals use tools. I quite like to see a kangaroo with like an axe or something. That'd be fun.
Luke, have you seen a kangaroo?
Yes.
They are jacked. They do not need to be given weapons. They can kill you enough already. And
crush the axe with their grip.
The US Army is jacked. We still give them weapons.
Yeah, because we want them to be better at killing. I do not want kangaroos to be better at killing.
Weak compared to a kangaroo.
No, but I'm not saying you want to, but the kangaroo might want to.
Fair. Actually, to be fair, I think if you put a kangaroo up against most people in the army, the US Army, they would be beaten by the kangaroo.
Probably.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Especially if it had an axe. Hey, this is the future I want to see. Welcome to the 6 o'clock news. We're getting footage here from the US invasion of Australia, where the kangaroos appear to have gone to a DIY store and are fighting back.
Oh, no. We had the great emu war. If the great kangaroo war ever happens,
no,
we're going to lose harder.
There would be actual human casualties if there was a great kangaroo war. So which hand do the kangaroos prefer?
So they do they all prefer the same one?
Not all, to this sort of a similar degree as humans.
Oh, okay. Right.
They seem like lefties. Lefties. Yeah, they seem like lefties to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, they do, don't they? They're like left-handed buff deer.
Unrelated, but Luke, you seem like a kangaroo.
Why do you think I want to give them axes? I've got a tree in my garden I need to chop down.
Are you going to get them to work for you? That's not okay.
No, I'm a kangaroo. Oh, okay. I'm a left-handed kangaroo who wants an axe to chop down the tree in my garden. I don't even have a tree in my garden. What are we talking about?
So many lies.
You brought it up.
Lefties lie. And Luke, the left-handed kangaroo is no different than the rest.
I'm sorry, guys. It's because of my low brain lateralization.
So yeah.
No part of my brain has taken responsibility for not lying.
Pass around the blame.
Yeah, so what's interesting about kangaroos is that they have a preference for their left forelimb, and they're also bipedal, which many mammals are not, but humans are, aren't they? So we think that that kind of handedness could have come about as a result of bipedalism, walking on two legs, that is, by the way. Although kangaroos also use their...
Hopping on two legs.
Yes. Yes.
Boing.
Boing. Boing, boing. Yes.
No, Jeff.
You know, kangaroos are really cool because they've got like they use their tail as like a third leg almost.
I was just about to set their balance, kind of with their tail because it's so fat.
Yeah, so very strong.
Yeah,
man, I would not want to go up against a kangaroo. Those guys are scary, bro.
Yeah,
like they look so.
And they're lefties.
Oh yeah, no, and lefties have an advantage when it comes to you know, fighting, because you don't expect them to be left-handed.
Yeah.
Although with a kangaroo, I suppose you would expect it to be left-handed, so maybe...
I heard a story recently about a boxer who trained to box as a right-handed boxer, but they were actually left-handed, and then they went into this fight and they boxed as a right-handed person for like a significant portion of the boxing fight, and then they just came out with actually their strongest hand being their left hand and just Bah!
Wow.
Amazing. Because it wasn't expected by the other person.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's harder to block if you're expecting a right hander if you've got a left hand coming at you.
Yeah.
You know? Same with baseball. That's why they used to have southpaws pitching, I think. Because if you're batting against a southpaw, it could be harder because you used to someone throw it with the right hand and they throw it with the left.
Really carved out a specialization for themselves in the world, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have. I think they should get their own baseball league, though.
Pitching in baseball.
I think they should get their own baseball league, though, you know?
The left-handed baseball
league. Keep them away from our right-handers.
Have to run around the pitch, either way.
Yeah, anti-clockwise.
Yeah.
No, clockwise.
It'd be clockwise.
No, they go anti-clockwise. Clockwise. So they'd be going clockwise.
They'd have to go clockwise, yeah. So kangaroos have got I've got a bit of a preference for their left hand. And there are other animals, so you can test, see which, you know, which side of their body each animal prefers. Because we have found that dogs, chimpanzees, even whales have a preference for one side over the other sometimes. But again, when I say this, that's not... That doesn't mean that they all have one have a preference. It means that each animal individually has a preference. Mm. Yeah?
I was just thinking, how do you check? Do you like challenge them to a boxing match? You're like, come on, bring it.
How do you check? What do dogs use their special hand for?
Their special
Remember that it's lateralization. It's not just handedness.
Yeah, but what you said that dogs have a preference for their hands. So no, what do they use it for?
Right, hold on, let me finish.
Slapping.
What do they use their special
So it's not their hands you got to look at, it's their tails. So if their tails wag mostly to the right, if they wag really hard to the right, that means that they're relaxed. But if they wag to the left, they might want to leave.
Oh.
So if that's flipped, then you can tell kind of which side they are. Yeah. Cats and also rodents. So this works for cats and rats. So if you give them
And bats.
What?
And bats.
No. No, bats aren't rodents.
No.
Are bats rodents?
Just because they rhymed.
Not.
They rhymed.
No, they're not. Oh, it rhymed. Okay. You got me having an existential crisis here.
Ignore me.
No, so if you give a cat or a rat or some other rodent, not the cats or rodents, like some treats, like a thing of treats,
mm-hmm.
whichever hand they use or paw they use to pick it up is probably the one that they've got a preference for. But interestingly, most male cats use their left hands, left paws. Like most male cats are left-handed, mm-hmm. as most female cats are right-handed, which is interesting. Yeah.
As in what the cat like will use to like drag it over to them or something.
Yeah, like, so like lift, scoop.
Scoop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scoop. Yeah. with rats, you can tell with like them just lifting stuff up with whatever hand.
Yeah.
You've got parrots. They're very easy. Whichever foot they use to pick stuff up. Fish are really interesting. So
don't have hands.
No, they don't have hands, man. They do not have hands. But whatever way they turn to avoid danger. And actually in sort of schooling fish, you can see they do have a strong preference for one side, sort of species wide in terms of the group that they're in, but it can differ between different species of fish, and it can actually differ depending on certain conditions. But usually most of the group will have a preference for the same side, and there'll be a small amount of the group that has a preference for the other side. And the reason for that is that if you're basically got a predator coming towards you and you're a school of fish, if you all go to one side, it'd be much easier for the predator to catch you.
Mm-hmm.
But if some of you go to the other side, the predator is expecting you to go, most of them to go, you know, the same way. And some of them going the other way will confuse the predator, and those ones will usually get away.
Ah.
So
on that, sorry.
Yeah, go on.
I once read, very, very distant memories, so apologies if this is incorrect, but that, you know, when you're on the street and you like, someone's coming up towards you and you like have that awkward moment where you're trying to go like, oh, do I go left or go right? And you both accidentally go the same way sometimes. Oh, apparently, there is an average way that most of us go, and that differs by country, and it's also not different, not based on the side of the road that you drive on in that country. So like most people in Britain, for example, will go the same way initially. Most people in Japan will go a different way initially. And isn't that really interesting?
That's really interesting.
Hmm.
Weird.
That's really interesting. That's cool. I think I might have heard that before. Yeah.
That's cool. Which way should we go in the UK if we run into that right. situation? To the right.
I would go to the right, I think. If someone's coming, step to the right.
Yeah, I think I would.
Well, it depends what side of the road. Hold on.
Depends on the situation, really.
Yeah, no, it depends what side. If I think I would step in towards the pavement, more towards the pavement. So that would probably be...
Oh, I'd step more towards the road.
Because I'm not a selfish bastard, Corey. I've let the other person pass on the safe side.
No. Why would I do that? I care more about me than some stranger who is in my way. How dare they be in my way?
You're a stranger who's in their way.
No, this is a one-way street. They are in my way. So with fish, it's really interesting because obviously there is a slight benefit to some fish. There's a benefit to a certain amount of fish having a preference for the other side. Mm-hmm. Obviously, too many fish have a preference at the same side, then they'll just all get eaten. Yeah. You know, it won't be as great. So there is an evolutionary pressure to have some fish be lateralized, basically left-handed, and other fish being, more fish being right-handed. Mm-hmm. Really interesting. And like I said, that varies between species, varies between location, between group. It's not like all fish are right-handed, especially because they don't have hands.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's also reptiles and amphibians. You could figure that out just by basically that you can introduce food to them on both sides, whichever mm-hmm. side they show more interest in and go for faster is that side. Usually it's the right side with most reptiles we've seen thus far. And also you can do it with horses, but most horses have been trained to be handled from the left side. And there's some benefits to handedness. Benefits to left-handedness. So, this is the thing. We'd have to ask the question, right? Why does left-handedness exist? You know, if it was not beneficial, surely it would have evolved out a mm-hmm. long time ago. But it's been present for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so we've got some theories as to why left-handedness still persists and why it persists at such a small amount, because it is a very small sort of number of people that are left-handed, sort of 10%.
10%.
Yeah. And so we think that it could be because combat. So in hand-to-hand combat, being a left-hander gives you a certain advantage because right-handed people are mostly used to fighting left-handed people.
Mm-hmm.
Left-handed people are also right-handed people are mostly used to fighting right-handed people.
Yeah.
Left-handed people are also mostly used to fighting right-handed people, which means that they've got a bit of an advantage because right. if you go put a lefty up against a righty, the righty is going to be like caught off guard. Oh. And so there is a surprise advantage if, you know, a small group of the population is left-handed. But if that group gets bigger, then the advantage decreases, and so mm-hmm. you'd see the population of that decrease. That is one reason we think it could be. And that's similar to the thing that I was mentioning with the fish just a minute ago, in that if too many of the fish have the same sort of preference, then the benefit is lesser.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason that we think that handedness could still exist at the level that it does. Because of basically...
It's the advantage of having few left-handed people so that righties aren't getting equal opportunity to fight a righty and a lefty.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. Because okay. yeah. it's all due to sort of evolutionary pressure, like selective pressure. And it is interesting that we seem to have reached a sort of equilibrium of about 10% of people being left-handed mm-hmm. for whatever reason. Yeah. And that is kind of the science of left-handedness. I do want to mention left-handedness and neurodivergence. So... We were talking earlier about, Luke, you mentioned earlier about how the world isn't really built for left-handed people. And I think it's really interesting because it kind of gives you an idea of the social model of disability. Not that left-handed people are disabled, obviously, but in that...
But they are in our world where everything's designed for right-handed people.
Well, that's kind of the point. I wouldn't go as far to say they're disabled, but the world isn't sort of made for them in the sense that if you're left-handed, you're functionally, you know, you can operate as well as a right-handed person can.
Corey, that was really big of you. Well done.
Thank you. you know, but obviously in this world, if you've got right-handed scissors and right-handed can openers, right-handed rifles, even like if you use your left hand with
guitars.
Them, you will get guitars. If you use your left hand with a right-handed rifle, you will get round casings in your eyes. Not the best thing. Not what you want, really.
No.
So in this world, left-handed people are put at a slight disadvantage in terms of things can be slightly more difficult, but it's not because they can't, they're less capable. It's literally just that we have only thought about things from a perspective of this one, thing, which is kind of what the social model of disability is about, in that their disability is basically just society not catering to certain groups of people mm-hmm. in the same way that it caters to others. And so, for example, if you were to use this in terms of neurodivergence, you could say that, well, if you were to give people with ADHD, for example, like the resources that they needed to, you know, get on, then they would excel just as well as someone without ADHD. But currently, we've got a world that is set up to make it difficult for people with ADHD to get by.
Thrive.
Yeah. And you could talk about people being deaf as well. If you just had, if you had things that, if you basically set up the world so that hearing was superfluous, then being deaf wouldn't really be a disability, would it?
Not in our constructed world, no.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So left-handed people are a good metaphor for the social model of disability, I think. And that's the science of being left-handed.
Very good.
Yeah, got through it all without vomiting.
Well, I'm feeling a little bit more accepting.
I'm not.
Not quite that.
Yeah.
You guys are awful.
Look, why don't you
think it's with Jam. Jam's joking. Corey, not so much.
No.
I'm surprised that...
support you.
I'm surprised that people think that I'm not joking when I say this. I'm surprised. Because I'm 100% joking.
You should... No, you should...
When I say that left-handed people are okay.
He's joking right now. Nasty.
I knew it was coming and it still hurt.
Yeah, no, so that is it for this week. Do you guys have anything else that you want to add?
Did either of you try and train yourself to be ambidextrous as a kid? Because I in primary school, I tried for a good bit to use my left hand to become as good as my right hand, and it just didn't work. It just ended up with my teachers thinking I couldn't write properly.
I think you can train yourself. Not for it necessarily be as good as your right hand, but you can train yourself to be better with it.
Yeah.
But I never could do it.
No. I gave up.
Yeah, Luke, did you?
I never tried. I don't know. I think I will have tried to maybe once out of curiosity, but I don't think I made a concerted effort as a child.
I gave
because he was too busy trying to force him to use his right hand. He was too busy trying to force him to use his right hand.
Yeah.
Lefty at heart.
I gave it a proper good go.
Didn't I feel like a lefty. I don't know. You're right. I do feel like a lefty in my life, but I'm apparently not. So.
We're gonna finish recording this episode, right? And Luke's gonna pick up a pencil with his left hand and be like, oh wow, this just feels right. You know? Or rather, this feels left. It's a late in life diagnosis of left-handedness. It's almost the end of the show, but it is time for my favorite part of the show. It's the quickfire quiz.
Lefty edition.
We all know the rules. I'm going to ask one question. That's one question between you. I need to finish asking the question before you can answer the question. To answer the question, you need to buzz in with your answer. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer wins. What do you win?
Absolutely nothing.
Goddamn right. So, what are your buzzers for this week? Jamp, what's your buzzer?
Oh, no, I'm a lefty.
You say the first thing that comes to your head, don't you?
Yeah, I really did, Luke, yeah. Sorry.
Luke, you got a better,
Mine
one.
Is going to be pressing a buzzer, but with my left hand.
Disgusting.
Okay.
That's good for the audio people.
So the question...
That's why I described it. Yours is, I'm a lefty.
It's good for both platforms.
So the question for you this week is... What percentage of the world is left-handed?
No, I'm a lefty. I forgot my buzzer.
I watched that happen. You tried to do Luke's buzzer. Luke, what?
So, can I give you an extended answer?
I mean, no.
Okay, so I'm going to guess it's 9% because 10% are not right-handed and 1% are ambidextrous.
Yeah, solid. Good. Well done. Congratulations, Luke. You win.
I would have got it if I remembered my buzzer.
You really were set back by whoever chose your buzzer for you.
The system's against me.
Just like a
left-hand. I'm a lefty.
You're a lefty in a right-handed world. But that is it for this week's show. Before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producer Ashley Muller, and also a very special thank you to executive producer Anoni May, who chose the topic for this episode. If you'd like to choose the topic for an episode, head over to patreon.com/SlyGuys and join our Boaty McBoatface tier. It's a good one. You get to tell us what to do.
It's the best one.
Yeah. It is. But thank you all for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice week comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. I am not Corey Everywhere.
I'm Jamkin Everywhere.
I'm Luke Cutforth Everywhere.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
If you're left-handed, fuck you.